He leaned across to speak to her, raising his voice over the hubbub and jollity of Red Wallers at tea.
You heard what Throg had to say about Samkin?
Vale put aside her beaker.
Yes, I heard all about it.
Bremen chose a slice of the latticed red currant tart and ladled it thickly with meadow cream.
Shall I leave it for you to deal with as Mother Abbess, or do you wish me to do it?
The Abbess turned the beaker slowly in her paws.
You are both squirrels. I think it would be better if it were to come from you, my friend. Samkin can be very naughty at times, but I've always liked the little fellow. I really don't have the heart to scold him. I'll leave it to you, if I may, Bremen.
Those on serving duty were beginning to clear away the dishes, and one or two diners were rising to leave. Bremen rapped the tabletop sharply with a wooden ladle.
One moment, friends. Your attention, please.
The hubbub of conversation stopped immediately. Those about to leave respectfully kept their seats. Reaching beneath the linen table runner, Bremen produced the arrow Throg had given him. He held it up for all to see.
This shaft was loosed in the orchard this afternoon. Would the creature who fired it please stand forward?
Amid a scraping of wooden benches, every beast turned to watch two small figures emerge from the table nearest the door. Many a knowing nod was passed. Samkin and Arula again. The young squirrel Samkin was a strongly built fellow wearing a beret sporting a wren feather at a jaunty angle. Straightening his soft green cloth tunic, he strode up to the long table, unable to extinguish the roguish twinkle in his hazel eyes. Arula, the young mole, padded alongside him. She, too, was clad in beret and tunic, though her small round eyes were downcast. Samkin's head was barely visible over the tabletop as he denounced himself to Bremen.
The arrow is mine. I shot it. Arula had no part in it.
The mole shook her velvety head.
Oh, no, sir. 'Twas I who asked Samkin to shoot the apple, hurry. 'Tis my fault, sir, Bremen.
The squirrel's voice was loud and stern.
Silence, missy. Samkin, this is not the first time. A short while ago, an arrow was found lodged in the kitchen door. Then one of the gatehouse windows was broken by an arrow. Later, it was Brother Hal, who was the victim of another arrow. He has a permanent furrow through his head fur, a fraction lower, and he would not be with us today. Now it is poor Mrs. Spinney's turn. The good lady was half frightened to death by your archery. What have you got to say for yourself, young squirrel?
Samkin shrugged apologetically.
Sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone.
Bremen hurried around the table to face the culprit.
You never meant to hurt anyone. A bow and arrow is a weapon, not a toy. But you do not seem to realize that. Oh, no. Off you go, willy-nilly, firing arrows carelessly, without a thought for any beast.
Arula interrupted, pointing to herself.
It were my fault, sir. 'Twas I who told Samkin to do it.
Quite so, Arula.
Bremen waved her aside distractedly.
Now, as for you, Samkin, you young wretch, you make me ashamed to call myself a squirrel. Mother Abbess was far too upset by your disgraceful behaviour to speak to you. Therefore, it is my painful duty to do this. Both of you, Samkin and Arula, are confined to the infirmary until further notice. I'm sure Brother Hollyberry can find lots of tasks, scrubbing, bed-making and washing floors, for both of you.